we left off the previous year, we were trying to understand this sort of a cryptic Gemara. It's really not a Gemara, really. A Maamar Chazal in the Michilta, where the Michilta says that Ein Own Shimon Hadin applies in the realm of Mamonos. The case that the Michilta was talking about was about a boar. And the Michilta says that if the Torah would have just said, don't open up a pre-existing boar, I wouldn't necessarily have known not to dig a boar, even though it's obvious digging a boar is significantly more of a problem. No, Ein Own Shimon Hadin. You can't punish somebody based on something that you derive from a kavachomer. So we thought that the Mechilta seems to be saying that Dini Mamonos are also included in that principle of Ein Own Shimon Hadin. That's the way Tosfos understood the Mechilta. And we quoted at the end of the shiur, the Shimon Kubetzes quotes in the name of the Mari Katz, who says no. That the Mechilta is not even addressing the Tashlum, it's not addressing whether you have to pay the money for the boar. The Mechilta is addressing something entirely different. Every time you dig a boar and somebody, you know, an animal gets hurt, so there are two things that just happen. Number one, you have to pay the money, 1,000 cents, that's true. But in addition to that, you also violated an Aveira. There was something wrong, there was some kind of an Isser that you did. And an Isser that you did carries within an Onesh, a real Onesh, not in Bezin Shalmata, but in Bezin Shalmala. So the Shimon Kubetzes says that's what the Mechilta was addressing. That Onesh in Shemayim for the chait of digging a boar and causing somebody to get hurt, that's the discussion of the Mechilta. Al zeh ne'emar ein own shel min hadin. So at the very end of the shiur, we made an observation. Is that really true? What's the source for this Isser? What's the source for this prohibition of digging a boar? I read Pashas Mishpatim. So all the Torah speaks about is if you dug a boar, then you have to pay. Or let's say in the case of an animal, if my animal went out and damaged, then I have to pay. Where does it say that it's awesome? Where does it say that I have to be careful not to do these kinds of things? So let's take a look at the 21st of the Maamar Kamos, where the Gemara says something about this topic, but it's not clear exactly what the Gemara is saying. So in Maseches Bava Kama Daf Nun Aleph Amin Aleph, the Gemara in the 21st, the Makara is looking for the following case. Boar Shoshnei Shifrin Heich Mishkachas Lo. The Mishnah referred to a boar that belongs to two people. It was dug by two people. So the Gemara is just trying to figure out very, very technically how that happened. Two guys holding a shovel together, one guy digging half the boar. The other, it's they just get the logistics of what the case is. So the Gemara suggests that maybe the following case. We go down to the third line of that source, towards the end of the line. Maybe the case is not that there are two guys who are literally holding the shovel together and timing the digging of the board together, but two fellows appoint a third guy to dig on their behalf. And when the third guy digs on their behalf, so he's their shaliach, and that chiyuv, whatever the chiyuv bor is, reverts back to the two mishalchim, to the two people who appointed him as their agent. So the Gemara says, bad case. The Gemara says, it's not going to work. Why? The four magic words, ein shlichut v'aveira. We have a principle that appears in Maseches Kedushin called ein shlichut v'aveira. Those were with us last year in the nightly shiur back in shul. So we spent a lot of time talking about ein shlichut v'aveira last year. So ein shlichut v'aveira. The principle is that if Reuven appoints a shaliach to be Mekadosh Anisha for him, so then the Kedushin will take effect. Reuven appoints a shaliach to separate Truma for him, Truma will take effect. Appoints a shaliach to sell his field, shlichus takes effect. But if he appoints a shaliach to do an aveira, he appoints a shaliach to steal from him, he appoints a shaliach to kill someone for him, so we apply the rule of ein shlichut v'aveira. Why exactly that's so? That's a whole complicated sugya in Kedushin. Is that a pasuk? Is it a svara? Difference is divya rav. That's one of the reasons. One of the reasons the Gemara says is divya rav, divya tam, divya mishomim. That means we turn around to the shaliach and say, what are you listening to this guy for? You should listen to the marshal, the rav, the tam, the mishomim. I remember one of the very first Shabbosos when the Ora Torah was open. So I was giving a share between the Mincha Maariv, one of the Shabbos, like we usually do, and Rabbi Shecht happened to have been in Bergenfield at Shabbos. He was speaking in Beth Abraham. So a few people came to me, and they said, you know, they wanted to apologize in advance. I should have taken the jumping ship already, but they said they wanted to go hear Rabbi Shecht. I said, so I quoted this Gemara. I said, Divya Rava, Divya Tavu, Divya Shama. I said, he's the Rabbi on the Tavu. Go hear him and give the shiur. Baruch Shem came back. So the Gemara says that Ein Shlichut V'Aveira. That if two people appoint one person to dig a pit on their behalf, so it doesn't take effect, doesn't mean anything. The person who digs the pit is responsible, but there's no shlichus because ein shlich lidvar aveira. So comes the Mishnah Lamelech and raises the question, what was the aveira that the Gemara is talking about? The Gemara says ein shlich lidvar aveira clearly indicated that some kind of an aveira.
I was going to say, if their intent was to cover it right away, then... And would the Kedushas
take it? Would that have been, would we have labeled that as an Avera? Maybe one could argue, even if you're going to cover it, who gives you the right to dig a hole in the middle of the street and then decide you're going to cover it? So the question is, what's the Avera? Let's start, if we can focus on what precise is the Avera involved. So the Mishnah Melech, in Hilchos Rotzeach, raises this question. And he says, Avera, I'm looking through the Chumash, 630 mitzvahs, it's not one of the 248 mitzvahs, 365, it's not there. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Davash HaMashlema, don't dig pits in the street. It must be, says the Mishnah Melech, it must be an Avera on the level of Derabbanan. It must be that the Isser of digging a pit in the street, of causing damage, is a violation of Derabbanan. Now, again, you have to pay min HaTorah. The Chiyuv Tashlumin is, of course, Deraisat. That's a Pasuk of Bash Mishpatim. But the Isser Shemo, the prohibition, is at worst only min Derabbanan. And the Gemara does use the phrase, Asla Kalka Rishus Aravim. You're not allowed to do anything in a public area that's going to make things potentially unsafe. That's at worst only in Isser Derabbanan. That's the Mishnah Melech's understanding of this Gemara. It's based on this understanding of the Gemara that he then concludes. You see from this Gemara that Ein Shlichet V'Avera applies even to Isur D'Rabbanan, even though the Isur involved is not an Isur D'Raisa. The Isur in question is not Asa Min HaTorah. That's also called an Avera. You have to keep D'Rabbanan also, so that's also included in Ein Shlichet V'Avera. Because of this conclusion of the Mishnah Melech, that Ein Shlichet V'Avera applies equally to Isurim D'Raisa and D'Rabbanan. That's his assumption, that this Isur is only with D'Rabbanan. That opened up an entire world about a real Shalom. I'm sure Maisa Shekechoya, very wild, crazy, was like out of the Wild Wild West, Shaila, that appears in the Shaza Chubis Nadi Behuda, became a whole controversial issue in Europe at the time. The Rebbe describes the following Shalom. Maisa Shekechoya. Reuven appointed a Shaliach to deliver a get to his wife. So the shaliach arrives 500 miles away, comes here, is ready to give the get, and the woman says she's not interested in accepting the get. She doesn't want it. She still wants to be supported. Whatever the cheshbon is, she doesn't want to receive the get. So the shaliach got very angry. I guess he wanted to make sure they got paid for his job, so he didn't do too much. He literally, basically beat the woman up, and he forced her to hold on to the get. He stuck the get in mamish into our hand. And then in the middle of that whole scuffle and fighting, the get ended up, got ripped up. The get got destroyed in the process. But before it was ripped up, it actually had been delivered, if you can use the word delivered, had been forced, shoved into her hand. And now the question, now she had second thought, now she definitely wanted to be divorced. Now she was interested in receiving the get. The shaila was that get valid or not? What's the shaila? So that get was given by al-karcha of the woman. It was given against her will. Now to give a get against the will of a woman is a violation of chayim d'rabbeinu gershom. Technically speaking, in a Torah, the get would be effective, but you're not supposed to do that. And Rabbeinu Gershom said that if you do it, we're going to put you into chayim. So that's a violation of a prohibition called chayim d'rabbeinu gershom, which at least for now we're going to call this a derabbanan. There are some who say maybe it takes on the status almost like a deraisa, because once Klai Sol accepts it, it becomes like a net. That's a whole different story. But let's assume for now that's an issa derabbanan. So the Yehuda says, wait a second, let's connect the dots. If there was an Issa D'Rabbanan that was done, and it was done by a Shaliach, maybe we should apply Ein Shlichet V'Aveira. Tosfos quotes one opinion above Metzia that Ein Shlichet V'Aveira means the Shlichus is batel, Shlichus is gone, finished, end of the story. The Shlichus is as if it didn't exist. So now, says the Nebuda, since the Shaliach did an Aveira at the time that he was performing his Shaliach, so we should kick in the principle called Ein Shlichet V'Aveira. And once you say Shlichet V'Aveira, it turns out he wasn't authorized as a Shaliach. If he wasn't authorized as a Shaliach, it's like a stranger gave a get to a woman, and the woman is still married. So the Nebi Yehuda, in that discussion, says this Shtikl Torah may depend on whether Ein Shlichet V'Aveira applies to Yisur D'Rabbanan or not. So the truth is that there are many who question even this logic, this argument, for a totally different reason. Many claim that that's not Ein Shlichet V'Aveira. The husband didn't tell the Shaliach to do an Aveira. The husband told the Shaliach to bring a get. The Shaliach on his own decided to do a derech Aveira. Who told him to beat up the woman? He should have just given up the get. She didn't want to receive it, so we should have waited and go to the base and figure out what to do with it. But what the Shaliach did was an Aveira, but it wasn't a Shlichus of Aveira. The etzem meaning of Shlichus was not done derech Isser. So maybe the principle of Ein Shlichet V'Aveira wouldn't kick in. So this opened up a world of the Yehudas and Ketzaisim and back and forth about what the answer to many of these factors would be. But one of the factors in this discussion, this real life Shaila, was this issue that the Mishnah Melech raised, that do you see from this Gemara Bava Kama that Dvar Aveira includes the Rabbanan? So if you really believe that there's no Aveira, Aveira D'Oraisa involved in digging a pit in the street, so then the worst Aveira you have here is a D'Rabbanan, and still the Gemara calls it Ein Shaliach D'Aveira. Whether or not that applies L'mais in the case of the Judah is subject to other factors.
Isn't that the same with the bar? When two people hire someone to dig the bar, that in itself isn't the Aveira.
No, well, they're hiring. They hired him to dig a pit in the middle of the street.
Yeah, that is an Aveira.
What was the purpose of the bar? Is digging the bar like you can never dig a bar in the middle of the shack?
Right, right.
Are there rules around it needs to be covered?
Not in the middle of the street. I can dig a bar in my own backyard, but I don't have any rishus to dig a pit in the middle of the street.
There's a malicious intent for that to hire.
Whether it's malicious, whether it's mazed or shogi, in the end of the day, if a person goes into the middle of the street in Tinek and starts digging a pit, unless he's given rishus by the din of the machusa to do that, because for toela sativa or something, that's something else. But I, as a private citizen, decide I'm going to go dig a pit in the middle of the street. That's an avera. That's called makalka rishus rav. I'm not allowed to do that. So comes Mishnah Melech and says that you see clearly from this gemara there must be an avera, but he can't figure out what the avera is. It must be only avera midiraban. So the Meshech Chochma and his parish of Chumash and Parshas Kedoshim says that he thinks we could disagree with the Mishnah Melech. Maybe there is a real bona fide Issa D'Oraisa taking place in this bore. What possibly could be the Issa D'Oraisa? So the Meshech Chochma was working hard, thinking through all the mitzvah Torah to try to dig up, no pun intended, what mitzvah D'Oraisa could we find? It wasn't a planned pun. Kind of, so the puns, when you realize it, Tach Tediba, when you said it, you have to apologize for. So comes the Meshech Chochma and he says, the answer is, it's a Torah violation of, catch this one, Lifne Iver lo siten michshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of somebody who's blind. So a person who's blind, either person's literally blind, or a person's walking in the streets, going to trip on a pit, going to trip on something you left on the ground, that's also considered to be a violation of Lifne Iver lo siten michshol. Now we usually think, like we all amdanim, so we think, oh, you know what Lifne Iver means? Lifne Iver means when you invite a guy over and you give him tray for food to eat. That's Lifne Iver. So the answer is that's true. That's also Lifnei Iver, says the Meshech Chochma. That's the additional level of Lifnei Iver. We wonder what Lifnei Iver pshuto means. Of course, Chazal never meant to say that Lifnei Iver only means giving a person trade for food, in addition to the literal meaning of making somebody trip, making somebody stumble. So it also means somebody spiritual stumbles as well. So at the end of the day, there is a real Issa D'Oraisa, and that Issa D'Oraisa, potentially, according to the Meshech Chochma, is called Lifnei Iver L'Seitei Ne'michshol. So perhaps we could bring a raya against the Mishnah Melech, we're going to arrive for the Meshech Chochma from our Shita Mekubetzes and our Sugya. Because the Shita Mekubetzes is discussing that very, very cryptic Mechilta of Ein Onshin Min Adin vis-a-vis Bor. And the Mechilta sounds like it's talking about Mammon, but the Marikat says, no, it's not talking about Mammon. Mammon, nah, come on, you can make a person pay money based on Kavach Haver. What the Mechilta is talking about is this Isser, this Onesh, the Din Shemayim, for doing the terrible Aveir being Mekalka Mishnah Sarabim. What terrible Aveira is this Pasuk referring to? According to the Mishnah Melech, it's referring to an Issa D'Rabbanan. That's strange. I said the Mechilta is Da'ashtim Sukkim. This is clearly on the level of D'Oraisa. We're in the world of D'Oraisa. So we must be addressing some pre-existing Issa D'Oraisa to be Mekalcha B'shus Aravim. According to the Mishnah Melech, there is no such D'Oraisa. It doesn't exist. It's just an Issa D'Rabbanan. So then the whole Shit B'Kubetz doesn't read smoothly. Masha'enkin, according to the Meshech Chochma, then it reads like a charm. According to the Meshech Chochma, there is an Issa D'Oraisa here, and it carries with it an Onesh in Shemayim. And that's exactly what the Mechilta was addressing, whether that Onesh in Shemayim is covered by Ein Onesh Min Adin based on the Kavach Chomer or not. Perhaps the reason why all the other Rishonim did not give this pshat, Tosfos did not explain the Mechilta about some Onesh in Shemayim, the Rashba did not explain the Mechilta about some Onesh in Shemayim, maybe they were of the opinion, like the Mishnah Melech, how can you talk about Onesh in Shemayim? There's nothing wrong. On the level of, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, is anything wrong with digging a pit in the street? Moshe would say, because today, dig the pit. You can pay for it, but you're not doing an aveira. It's not nisa. You want to pay. But there's nothing per se also. So within this opinion of the Shit Mekubetzes, the Marikatz, the Meshech Chochma was picking up on this, that there is some real bona fide Isser Min HaTorah. In addition to the Tashlumen, there's a real bona fide Isser Min HaTorah to cause a damage in the Rishus Rabim, Kach Rishus Rabim, and we even were able to link it to a pasuk of Lifnei Iver. Just how far does this principle go? Is this principle limited to Bor? Because Bor, whenever you dig a Bor, so you open up the possibility that a human being will get hurt. Lifnei Iver, Siddur Mikshel, a person may get hurt. What if I have a situation where no one's going to get hurt? Nobody gets hurt in the Bor. What if I have an animal? And I let my animal go wild. I let my animal go into somebody else's backyard. I know full well it's going to go into the backyard. It's going to eat the other person's crops. And I'm perfectly willing and ready to pay for the damage. I'm going to pay Shane for regular. I'm not going to cheat you. I'm going to pay you what I have to pay. But I'm not interested in watching my animal. I'm not interested in the tircha of making sure my animal doesn't eat your crops. Because one day I got other things to do. Let him eat your crop. My time is more important. I'm going to make more money. I'm not going to pay for your crops. Let my animal leave your crops. And I'll send me the bill. I'll be happy to pay. Is there anything wrong with that? So just because we've identified a potential isn't the raisa when it comes to a boar, maybe one could argue, that's boar when a person gets hurt. So then you can put it onto the pasuk with the evil osita michshol. But if it's only niskei mamon, nobody at the end of the day gets hurt. All I did was I caused the hefsed mamon. Is that per se a problem? Is there anything wrong with causing a hefsed mamon to somebody? Again, if I don't pay, then I'm shagazlan, I have to pay. But if I'm going to pay, I'm more than willing to pay. Is there anything halachically wrong? Is there anything halachically usur about that kind of an activity? I'm going to let my animal do its damage, and I'm going to reimburse you for it. So there is a sugya on the 22nd of the Marmar Kavos, the Gemara Kedushim and Beis, within the actual, the primary sugya of Ein Shluchet Va'Aveira, where the Gemara quotes the following. How this standard is the Mishnah later on above a Kama. If a person sends a flame, hand a torch to a child, to a cherishet v'katan, somebody who's not responsible to watch over this torch, so the potter b'dine adam v'chay b'dine shemayim. So I'm potter from dine adam. The Beis Din will not hold me responsible because at the end of the day, I didn't really cause the fire. I handed him a torch. He went out and he caused the fire. However, if you want to know what's going to be in shemayim, when it comes to Yom Kippur, dine shemayim, so they can hold me responsible for that. This falls into the general category of Allah called grama. If I cause damage in some very, very, indirect way, so Beis Din Shamata cannot make me pay, but in Beis Din Shamala, they will hold me responsible. What about Shalech B'Apikech? What if I send a fire with a Pikech, with a healthy, regular, responsible person, and the Pikech is negligent, so Pikech Chayev. So then the Pikech is Chayev to pay. V'yamai. Name a Shlucho Shlodom Kimoso. Why don't we apply the principle of shlichos? Why do we say that if I send the fire with somebody else, I should be chayev because the other person is my shliach? So he says, no. Shani halsam de ein shlichot va'aveira. The Amrin, as we said before, divrei rav, divrei tam, divrei mishomim. Since lighting a fire and burning down people's property is considered to be an aveira, so we apply the principle of ein shlichot va'aveira to this as well. So very similar to that Gemara we had in Bava Kamma and Aleph about the ding of a boar, we now have vis-a-vis damaging of monetary property as well. And the question becomes, how do we understand that aveira? What aveira are we talking about here? So according to the Mishnah Melech's approach to this entire sugya, that the quote-unquote aveiras that we're talking about are only aveiros midrabanan, and that's also included in Ein Shluchot V'Aveira. So just as we took that approach vis-a-vis boar, we could take that approach vis-a-vis eish, vis-a-vis burning somebody's house down as well. That there's an aveira here. It's an aveira midrabanan, and on that aveira midrabanan, Ein Shluchot V'Aveira kicks in. But according to what we suggested before, that maybe we don't want to go down that route of Averis Derabanan. Maybe to meet the criteria of Ein Shlich Udvar Avera, the Avera has to be categorized as a Deraisa de Avera. Where's the Deraisa? Where's the Avera? We're looking for the Avera. Where is there? What Avera? Who Avera? Where Avera? So when it came to Boar, at least we identified the evil of the Michshol, according to some. But when it comes to causing monetary damage, this is closer to the model of I let my animal loose and my animal goes and damages your property. What's wrong? What a terrible aveira did I do?
Would a bitul asay be relevant?
It's a question. Very good. Excellent. Okay, good. Excellent. So already the Rishonim start searching and start looking around. We need almost like a creative model for what kind of aveira could we be talking about? Again, assuming that we're right. If you go down the route of the Mishnah Melech, we don't have to find any aveira there, right? So we have an aveira there, but we're good to go. But if you assume that there has to be a real bona fide aveira deraisa, and for this halacha to kick in, so then you have to start to search what is that aveira deraisa. So here are quotes from already from some Rishonim, already there's a Ramah that suggests that maybe the aveira deraisa, the guiding principle, the guiding force on the level of deraisa against all this kind of activity is v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. So it's a very simple calculation. Like the Gemara says, Hillel told the prospective gem, by the son in law, the chavalos avid. If what you don't want someone to do to you, don't do it to somebody else. That's the ikar. That's the klal gadol. That is in effect the mitzvah of yahavta l'recha kamocha. So some of the Rishonim already say, imagine I own property. I own a house. I own crops. So a guy's going to come and say, oh, don't worry. I'll burn down your house. No one's going to get hurt. I'll burn down your house and don't worry. The insurance will reimburse you. Don't worry about it. You'll get paid back. I'll make sure I pay you back. I'll pay you back more than the house was worth. I tell the guy that. Azat, obviously Israel. What an Oyev Israel is that he's willing to destroy my property than pay for it. I said, I'd rather he gets lost than I'd rather keep my house, rather keep my crops. So comes the Yad Raman, says that's a violation of Yahaftar Chakamacha. So even though we can't pinpoint the lav in the Torah, that's okay. Yeah, it's still what? Tashkis, another Aveira, okay, different Aveira. Okay, that's a question also. Is that kind of Baltashkis really the rice or not? The Gemara speaks, the Pasuk speaks about Baltashkis in the sense of chopping down fruit trees. And I think Gemara talks about other kinds of Baltashkises. So the question is that those other, when we were little kids, so they always told us, if you don't finish every piece of food on your plate, that's an Isser of Baltashkis. So that may or may not be true. But if it is true, so then that may only be an Isser the Rabban and not necessarily an Isser the rice.
Burning down crops.
What? Crops, it's not a fruit tree. The Isser and the Chumash is destroying fruit trees. Whether burning down other kinds of properties, the rice, but it's up for discussion. But here, say, some Rishonim, you have a much more serious Aveira. An Aveira, Haftar HaKamocha, that in of itself constitutes an Aveira on the love of the rice, and then the Did of Eish Lechot Aveira can kick in.
Shluch Aveira, even without damage, you're saying is an Aveira.
So it gets very, very tricky. Well, if there's no damage, then there's nothing for us to be discussing. We're trying to figure out whether the shaliach has to pay for the damage or the mishaleach has to pay.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out whether there's an issur just a shaleach as opposed to the damage that occurs from it.
I mean, if nothing happened.
You could send the fire for a good reason. So when it's dark at their house, so you send someone to bring a fire over there to light up their house.
Right. Right. We're saying in an unjust, we'll qualify it, in an unjustified the spreading of fire. So then that would be constitute an aveir for our purposes.
Well, because the question is whether the result of a damage makes the initial
in theory. So the Gemara actually talks about that. The Gemara talks about certain situations where a person was almost like a mazik b'shus. He had a right to do certain things. The Gemara, the Mishnah in the third Bechel Bava Kama that says, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to pour water into the street. You pour water into the street, someone's going to trip on it. But there are some times of the year when people would throw all the wastes into the street, and that was understood. You're allowed to clear out your gutters. You're allowed to throw out all the dirty water into the street. So the Mishnah says, it's mutta what you're doing, but you just know that if someone gets damaged, you're still going to pay for it. So sometimes you have something that you're allowed to do, but you're allowed to do it at your own risk. You do it at your own risk, and if someone gets hurt, you're going to have to pay for it. So again, so we have at least a possibility of what this is, what this aveira, the araisa, maybe. Maybe it falls under the category of a haftal rechak bocha. So the stipler is the chidushim, to be very beginning, the very first sibin of Bava Kama, has another interesting idea as to where the potential issa, we're searching for an aveira, searching for this issa. Where is the vishted, where is the chumash, that there's an issa to be mazik somebody. So the stipler suggests that maybe this is the ultimate mitzvah, or the ultimate antithesis of the mitzvah, Shavas Aveda. The mitzvah Shavas Aveda means that I'm walking in the street and I see a guy's property is at risk. His animal is lost, or something says his fields overflooding, or something's happening that's causing him a potential hafsid mamon. So the Torah says you have no right to sit back and just watch what happens. Lo sucha l'salem. You're not allowed to sit back and close your eyes. You're mechuyav min haTorah. Hashem teshiv mechicha. You have to go help him. You got to go save his animal. You got to go save his land. You have to do whatever you can in order to ensure that the person does not experience a hafsid mamon. Hashem teshiv mechicha. So what do you see from here, says the stipler? That the Torah wants us to care about other people's money. The Torah doesn't want us to take the attitude that shali, shali, shalach, shalach, it's yours. It doesn't affect me. So says the stipler, licked within the parish of Hashem Saveda is kalvachoymer, that if I'm the Oses Aveda, I'm the one who goes out and I make your property into an Aveda. So Ein Lecha Aveira Gadol Mizo. That's the ultimate opposite of the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. So whether you want to go down the route of a general statement of Haftarah HaKibocha, or whether you want to go down a very specific mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, at the end of the day, there seems to be some kind of an Isra involved in causing damage to somebody else's property. So again, we always have a few different levels. We have, first question is, well, what if I dig a pit that causes bodily damage? So even that, the Mishnah Melech wasn't sure, is in a Seder Aisa. But we thought, Mishnah Chochma, Shid Megumetzes, Markatz, we had already a lot of sources to indicate that that would be in a Seder Aisa. Then we took it one step further, about what if it's not a person, it's not damage to the person's body, but rather it's some kind of a monetary damage, would that also be Seder Aisa? So you can, the Gemara itself, a Kedusha, is not indicative of anything. The Gemara just says, maybe that means they're abundant. But Alat Tzadet means that they're Isa. So we're searching, trying to figure out what is that phantom pasuk. Can we pin it on V'haflecha Kamocha? Can we pin it on Hashem Saveda? Not exactly sure what mitzvah, what Isa we're talking about, but there may very well be some kind of an Isa Deir Isa. So I have to thank Dr. Fisher for pointing out to me, you pointed out to me the Rambam the other day, that the Rambam in Prakavana Cheshuva, so he quotes the Mishnah and elaborates a little bit. The Mishnah says in the end of the 8th Prakha Bavakama that when a person, person beats up somebody else, causes damage, so obviously he has to pay nezik, tzar, reap, whatever the different halachas of tashlumin are, and in addition to having to pay, he has to ask him for mechila. And the Mishnah says that if he doesn't ask him for mechila, then he doesn't receive, he doesn't get mechila from him. It means he cleared the slate in Beis and Shamata, but he didn't clear the slate in Am L'Chavero, he doesn't clear the slate in Beis and Shamala. That's what the Mishnah says in the end of Masechas Yuma, if in a little Nyan Adiyayim, if Neshem Titaru, that only Avera should have been Am L'Makom, Yom Kippur can be mechaper. If a person has some outstanding affair, but I'm the chavero, so he has to clear the slate with chavero, and then he has to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person shouldn't think that if it's an avera, not a chavero, so he just has to get mechila. No? He has to get mechila from the chavero, and then it's an avera. Every ben the chavero is also ben the makom. So a person then has to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. But if he still has an outstanding debt, it's not going to work. So that's what the Mishnah says. Even if it's not an outstanding monetary debt, he just hasn't asked him for mechila yet, that's going to be a problem. So the Mishnah describes hachayvah b'chaveiro, somebody who actually hit somebody, who caused them bodily harm. So when the Rambam quotes that din, so the Rambam adds on mazik as well. The Rambam adds on that if you cause damage, monetary damage to somebody, you have to ask them mechila. So the question is that true? What do I have to ask them mechila for? So if you hold that there's no real issur, I didn't do anything wrong, so to speak, I paid the money and finished. So if you hold like those who say, at least on the level of their eyes, there's no aveira per se, then what do I have to ask him mechila for? The Rambam is describing it, the love of the rice, I have to ask the person mechila. So it seems to also indicate that there's some kind of an issur here. Again, what the name of that issur is, where we pinpoint the issur is, a little bit unclear. Whether the issur is B'Hav Tachach the issur is Hashav Saveda, but there seems to be some kind of an issur that's taking place. So Akopanim, this whole second half of the sugya was all revolving around that statement of the Mechilta, because the Mechilta used the phrase, they own Shem and Adin vis-a-vis Bar. So unlike Tosus who claimed that the Mechilta really, truly meant that there's some kind of real Ein Onshin Adin by pure Din and Mamonis. And then Tosus got into a whole discussion, is that true? It's against the Mishnah. And we spent 3 days trying to figure out what the Machlokes was. Is Mamonis an Onish, not an Onish? Is it Ein Onshin Adin based on this reason, that reason? We gave a whole different multiple Mahalchim to explain what the quote-unquote Machlokes between the Mechilta and the Gemara was. Then we saw other Rishonim who said, no, there's no Machlokes. Rashba said the Mechilta was only talking about Tashlumei Bor, because Bor is such an unbelievable Chiddush, so Ein Lecha Bo L'Chiddusho. And then finally we saw the Shidim Gubetz's quote from Ari Katz, who says that the Mechilta is not even talking about Tashlumei Bor, it's talking about the Yisra of Bor, the Onesh, the Din Shemayim of Bor, and Alzen Yamein Onesh Min Adin. What that Yisra is, that led us down the path of the Machlekes within the Mishnah Melech and the Mishnah Chochma, had to learn Pshat in the Gemara, in Bava Kamen Daf Nanal, about Ein Shluch and Va'Aveira, whether there is some kind of an Aveira Deraisa V'Bor, and then we took it to the next level, even in Tumtulayim, that there is an Aveira Deraisa V'Bor, just how far does that go? Does that extend to monetary damage as well? Ashav Saveda, based on Rav Chamorcha, other possible considerations. But the whole thing started with our Sukkot. It all started with that Mishnah. So I can't even say we read a whole Mishnah. We learned one half a line of the Mishnah so far. It took us about 3 weeks. One sugya. This is one of the longest sugyas. 22 Makaris is on the longer end of our sugyas. Hopefully, Beit Hashem, we have to have kippah, so we'll start the next sugya. It's a little bit more of a Hilchos Shabbos sugya, because the Gemara begins to relate the notion of Abbas and Toldos, as we have in Ezekiel, and how that plays out in terms of Shabbos. So we'll have a little bit of a break from Bava Kama for a couple of days.